Thursday, November 27, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we continue our series in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 22, looking at verses 1 through 14 with a message titled, Accept the Invitation and Come Today.
If you despise God's word, he will take it from you. If you persistently refuse to listen to God's speech, you will endure his silence. And I think that captures somewhat of the heart of what Jesus is saying here, that to refuse to listen to the word of God and refuse to take seriously the calls that come to us invites judgment. That's what these parables are all saying to us.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And next week we have the privilege to partake of the supper together. So this sermon really is a preparatory sermon in and of itself. And you'll see the calls to examination there in the sermon as we'll look at those. But what a beautiful text this morning, for it's an invitation to a great feast. So let's give our attention this morning to Matthew chapter 22, page 983, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and they went off. One to his farm, another to his business. While the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully and killed them. The king was angry and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' He was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" May the Lord bless now the hearing of his word. Well, this morning we have before us is really the third parable in a grouping of parables that all have been driving home the same point of Jesus. It's been a really important section to study. And as I've made the case, this is Jesus really coming and showing us himself as a prophet of judgment. After the incredible patience of our Lord that has been exhibited all throughout this gospel and all throughout the history of mankind, if you will, what we have here is many in Israel would not respond. They would not enter. They would not come. And I think, as rightly has been observed, that those who have always been raised in the kingdom and those who have always had this, and those who have always from the beginning been baptized in this, run this same risk. So it's a very important section this morning to consider the calls of the king and the refusal of many who would not enter in, and how something very important is being communicated to us about entrance into the kingdom of God. And really, if I might be just very common here in saying this, the craziness of those who refuse to enter. But what does that look like? What does not entering look like? How do we understand it? And that's what this text, I think, is very helpful in showing us this morning. The judgment unfolding here in this particular text, I found a little statement by Ralph Davis. It wasn't really commenting on this, but I thought this expositor says something that I think really captures the heart of this text. If you despise God's word, he will take it from you. If you persistently refuse to listen to God's speech, you will endure his silence. And I think that captures somewhat of the heart of what Jesus is saying here, that to refuse to listen to the word of God and refuse to take seriously the calls that come to us invites judgment. That's what these parables are all saying to us. And all of this is set the backdrop of the wonderful character of the one who's calling us. He's not a tyrant. He's wonderful. That's you can't get away from in these parables. He goes to great lengths to call people to enter into his kingdom. He goes to great lengths to do this, to call people to come. And we're still here. We're still going. And to think about this in 2025, it's a testimony that he's still calling. So the great and simple message is, do you understand what accepting the invitation looks like and then coming? And have you done that? Enter in today is really the message. Lest you find others entering in before you because you have not. That's the whole point. It's the whole point of this parable as I think about it and wrestled through it. Enter in today, lest you find those entering in before you because you won't. And that's a very important call today that comes to all of us. So Jesus began his whole ministry, you remember, with the great calls. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and turn to me in faith were the calls. And as we near the end of his ministry, after this long study in the Gospel of Matthew, he's been giving us parables to capture this and how this has gone in Israel. And you might say that we've come to the final phase of his kingdom work here as before he goes to the cross, when really what's anticipated is the great marriage feast of the Lamb when his kingdom is finally consummated. We have a picture of that. We have a picture of what's coming, the final consummation. We have a picture of the feast that's coming. And it sort of captures this, the whole phase all the way through to this major place and what it looks like in the end. And in his ministry, Jesus expressed great concern that people come. That's why calls were given constantly, because they didn't see the need for him, Jesus would press further. And what we saw from people along the way was, the sort of treatment of him was, there was no real appreciation for those who had everything of what it even meant to belong to the kingdom of God. Their attitude was one of self-confidence. Their attitude was one of arrogance. Their attitude was one of just really, in general, apathy to all that was happening in the kingdom as Jesus had arrived and the kingdom of God had broken into this world. So now we come to this final parable in this grouping of three. And what we're looking at here is this invitation refused, and then the wedding hall that is filled, and then the need for the garment to enter. It's just the basic flow of this text. It's not sort of rocket science in understanding the three points that are here. But this invitation refused is really the great point that is being driven home up front here. For all who have believed in him, for all who had come to him, for all who today have trusted in him, we are anticipating something glorious, aren't we? We are anticipating something wonderful. A great wedding banquet of the king is here described. And you'll notice that in verse 1 of chapter 22. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Jesus likens the whole kingdom of heaven here to a wedding banquet consummated. That the king is throwing, this great king is throwing for his son. I think you know that every time you have the kingdom referenced like this, it's referenced the consummation of the kingdom, the fulfillment of the kingdom. It's always described in the most beautiful terms and language possible in the scriptures. It's a place of celebration. It's a place of happiness. It's a place of bliss. It's a place free from misery. If you opened up the end of Revelation, you have it described. Then I heard what seemed to me to be the voice of a multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her," now think of this whole parable, "to clothe her with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." There's a definition of that fine linen. It's the righteous deeds of the saints. "And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" Imagine it. We have something of this captured here in the very description of Jesus. You look around and you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed. You've never seen anything quite like this wedding hall. I mean, we do all we can to make wedding halls beautiful, and I'm not looking forward to spending on that one day. But our Lord has a beautiful hall planned. And there you step into the hall, and there's Abraham. What? There's Abraham there, and there's Moses, and there's Elijah. And you're not going to believe it. Samson's in there, that renegade. And Paul is in there. And all the saints. And there's the bridegroom. And he has a cup. And he's promised all your life he's going to drink this anew with you in the kingdom. Right? Remember he said that when he gave the supper, instituted it? "I will drink this anew with you in the kingdom one day, face to face. In the new heavens and the new earth. It's a cup of blessing. It's a cup of happiness. Enjoy." In these wedding feasts, the groom would come in with the best attire with his friends, and they would sing, and they would bear torches, and they would come to their betrothed and would have a great procession. He would taking his bride home, and then he would take his bride into the dining hall, and there would be the great feast. We have some sense of this every time we have a wedding, and it's a beautiful thing. The most glorious festivities would go on in Israel for 7 days. Who wants to pay for that, right? Jesus described in John 2. Remember the wedding he went to in Cana? They pressed him. Remember what he said? "It's not my time yet. It's not my wedding feast yet. It's coming. Well, can you change the wine? Can you do something now?" And he anticipates it by changing the water to wine to signify the joy of his feast that's coming. Well, in these feasts, you would send the invitation. And this was no small invitation. This was like getting this was not like getting a Calvin grad invite. This is the invite of a great king. A great king, a monarch. This would be unthinkable. I mean, it has the insignia, it has the seal. be unthinkable for someone not to come. We got invited. He considered us, right? And that's how it worked, right? They'd send out the invite, and then the king would prepare the hall. So there'd be some time that expired. And you'll notice that here, there's really three invitations in this text. So the first one went out, I'm having a great feast for my son, you are invited. The invite went out, and then once the hall was all prepared, he would come back and say, it's all ready, you got to see this, come. So the time for the great feast came. And he went out and he called, he sent his servants, those who were invited. The invitation went out, and then the time for the feast came, and he went out and he said, okay, it's time, it's ready. My servants, go out and call all those who were invited to come. The imagery here is this really good king. You can't miss this. This really good king took great efforts to prepare something wonderful for his guests because of his son. This is a treasured son. And I can't help but to think here of what our Lord kept telling us about the preparation of the fullness of his kingdom that would come through the cross. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's what he's doing. Preparation. I go to prepare a place for you. Where he went to prepare that place was the cross. But then we come to this stunning part of the parable. After receiving the second invite, we read, but they wouldn't come. It's interesting what Jesus captures. In Luke, it's not the same parable, but it's a similar parable. They made great excuses. The feast was prepared, and what Jesus is drawing out here, initially, they heard the call to come, and they said, you know, I don't really feel like going tonight. Do you, honey? We're tired. The Dodgers are on. Luke has the similar parable at this point. They all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field. I got to go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me. Would you stop and say, you're more interested in your oxen? Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. What a great thing to take your new bride to a feast. So they forcibly took the invitation and they ripped it in half and they threw it in the trash. They just wouldn't come. You get the sense that the anger and the irritation, there's almost anger and irritation that they have to come. That's the attitude behind it. Are you kidding me? I gotta go? They might have called it legalistic. So you're stunned. The parable's meant to stun us. It's so unimportant to them in this Matthew version of it. At first, they don't make the excuse. And we're shocked. I think the implication of this is, the effect of this is, have they thought at all who invited them? Do they know who invited them? And what do we have here? We have a picture captured in this parable of how Israel responded to her Messiah. So far, we have 2 invitations. Phase 1, the whole history of Israel had been a giant invitation to come to the feast. The Passover celebrated it. It anticipated it. Preparations had been made, and they said, we'll come. Phase two, John the Baptist and Christ himself came, the king's son, total rejection. They just won't come. It's kind of a parallel to the Lord's Supper. What if I announced, next week we have supper? What if I said tonight? Just put it wherever you want. But next week we have the supper. But if we think about it tonight, great table set for you, a feast is spread. You're going to get to come and dine with him tonight. You're going to meet with the king, anticipating the great feast. That's what the supper is. It's an anticipation by faith of the great feast. And he says, it's ready. It's all ready. The table's set. We've prepared the wine. We've prepared the bread. We've prepared the feast. All these people are invited to come. And what's the heart of Israel? I'm tired. My family's getting together tonight. You know, this is just legalistic to try to tell us to come. That's all pretense for a hard heart. All of it. They don't value the king. They don't value his son. They won't come. It means nothing to them. So why would they even initially accept? You see? Why play the game? When the real thing comes, you don't want to do it. Why are you playing the game? And what's Matthew been showing us the whole book? There's nothing on the inside. Because what's needed in the human heart is regeneration, life. And you see, the parable is exposing the awful attitude of people who won't come. Deep in their hearts, there's no interest in this. And the shocking thing is, why? I mean, this is such a good king. He's such a good king. He's the greatest king you could ever.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for part two of this message from the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.